Welcome to the Spiritual Phoenix Podcast. I'm your host, Ross Cessna, and I bring you a weekly podcast about alchemy, spirituality, magic, mysticism, and more. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and like our videos. All right, welcome everybody. We are joined by Serena Rose. Serena, how are you doing today?
I am doing so beautiful today. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy morning, but busy is good. Keeps me out of trouble. The first question I like to ask everybody right out of the gate is, what are you grateful for today?
I would say this opportunity. And before I actually answer that question, I just want to honor you for asking it, because that is a question that I ask everybody in my life often, and I replace the "how are you" question in day-to-day conversations with "what's made you happy today?" or "what are you grateful for today?" So my heart is very warm that you start your shows with that and ask that question. And so I just wanted to take a time to honor you for that and appreciate you. And to answer, I'm grateful for Mother Earth and the seasons that we're in, and for the collective consciousness. There is a rise happening right now, and it's really beautiful to be aware of and a part of, and to be here doing my part. So I'm just so grateful to be here.
That's a very beautiful answer. And thank you for taking the time to honor that question. The thing for me is I find that so much conversation is really empty and meaningless. So it's important to ask like big questions, I feel like. And for me, the more I'm focusing on what I have to be grateful for, the better the quality of my life is, and the more likely I am to act on that gratitude. Because in my understanding, gratitude is an action word, which is shown by the actions that I take within my life. So I'm sure you can relate to that as well, right?
Absolutely. Gratitude is what I visualize as a key. There are so many keys to life, and that is one that unlocks many doors. If you're ever feeling stuck or trapped in a certain place, there's literally always something to be grateful for. And there's silver linings everywhere, you know, even simple things like having a toilet to use, you know, the simple little things of life, you know, whatever it is that you can find gratitude for in every moment, do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing to think of all the things that we do have to be grateful for. And my life has been very varied. And at one point, like one of the biggest moments of gratitude I can ever recall is eating this stale corn tortilla with tuna fish, which I'm not a big fan of, and it being like one of the best meals I've ever had in my life, because I was so hungry at that point, because I was homeless and all this. And I'll never forget that taco. It's as funny as that sounds.
I love that. And you kind of got into that a little bit before we started recording. And the depths of life, which I imagine you've experienced, the darker things and the challenges that we face are an important part of the hero's journey. And I'm grateful for you and the work that you're doing and that you're showing up, and that will continue to be one of the best meals that you've ever had because of the circumstances. And that's so powerful. It's so powerful to share and to show up and to see all those things and, you know, just raise the awareness level that people have, because maybe somebody listening right now, you know, doesn't have a lot of food in the cupboard, or whatever, and they're about to have the best meal of their lives because of you.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, thank you for framing it that way. That puts a lot of pressure on me now.
No pressure. It's no pressure at all. I think that it's just given, you know. It's easy. It's easy. That's something that I'm learning very much in my life right now, is that it can be easy if you choose it to be.
That perception definitely is key. The one last thing I want to say on gratitude, because it came up when you were talking about how somebody could have like hardly any food and really appreciate their meal. There's a quote that I'm going to paraphrase, and it talks about gratitude turning a meal into a feast and a home into, I forget what it turns the home into, but regardless, like, it just talks about how much gratitude can augment situations and amplify their meaning if you have the right lens towards reality. And I think that you touched on that. So let's start talking about you a little bit. I really don't know much about you, because I like it that way, to not know much about guests, as I've told you prior to our conversation. So explain to me who you are, what you do, and kind of what your mission is.
So I am Serena Rose, and I am an influential leader. That is the first thing that comes up. And a spiritual guide and a power coach. So there's a number of labels and terms, and I struggled for a long time with how to answer that question. What do I label myself as? What feels good? And those things are what I've landed on. And I think that, you know, we're all influential leaders. We all are leaving an imprint, and the imprint that I hope to leave is one of love and awareness. And what I do is I help people get to their highest version of themselves while they're here during this lifetime. And I help people tune into the power sources that are, you know, what makes you you. So we have our mind, our body, our spirit, and then the closest external forces to us, which are our self-expression, our communication, and our relationships. And so just bringing awareness to the remembrance of, like, the fact that everybody has power, like, you are a powerful being. And when you're aware of that and conscious of it and tune into it and start recognizing where your power is leaking, and the fact that you even have it and that you can attract things into your life by tapping into it, it's just a very beautiful process and journey. And I lead very much by example. I would say that I'm a catalyst for self-expression. You know, we all are our own medicine, our own individual creative person, and we're all here for our own reasons. And I think society has, in a way, trained us to believe otherwise. You know, we live in a system that is structured very much on comparisons and egos and money. Not that money is negative by any means, but we are kind of trained to focus on things that are outside of ourselves instead of focusing on ourselves. And so that is really my mission, is to help heal people, their hearts, and connect them back to their power.
Very, very beautiful answer. And I can see why our paths cross, because we do similar work, different approaches to the same end goal is what it sounds like, and highlighting different aspects of that journey and that whole process of bringing people to themselves. So that's very cool how that all works out. How did you get started on this whole path?
Well, the first thing that comes up is I was born.
That's always a good place to begin.
Yeah. I mean, we all are on this path. It's just whether you're aware of it or not. And how I got started in the work, I would say, is my life is a little backwards. I had a very challenging upbringing. I was held prisoner in my own home and abused, and every form of abuse that you could imagine a person to go through is something that I've experienced. And Spirit was there for me. So I've had a connection to spirit and to the divine and to metaphysical beings since I was a child. And because I was held prisoner and was so contained, I didn't have friends. I wasn't allowed to talk to people because of the circumstances I was given. And so I talk to animals. I talk to trees. I do all of the things that, you know, usually the way it goes is people live their lives and then later in life they get into the work and they have some story of an awakening or something that happened, and then they start, you know, talking to trees and animals and themselves. And so my story is a little backwards in that way. And in my adult life, I definitely had a rebirth. And something that has landed me so, so deep into this work is just synchronicities of life and me listening and stopping and pausing and realizing, you know, hey, this isn't working for me. What do I need to shift? This doesn't feel good. Something's not right. And so when you give yourself the space to listen to your body, to your thoughts, to your spirit, and, you know, sometimes life, you know, circumstances keep happening. Like, I own my own business. I was a holistic hairstylist and makeup artist, very successful at that. And it's still a big part of my life. And I kept growing, and I got to the point in my career where I own my own business and I couldn't go any further. And I kept hitting roadblocks with my growth, and I just kept hitting them. And I got to a point where I said, okay, maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to do. And it was draining me. And I somehow, even though I was in a very artistic, creative, you know, carve my own path kind of career, I somehow got into this rat race mentality with it. And so life redirected me, and I went and spent basically all of my money on retreats and workshops. And I've always had these spiritual connections and gifts, and I just didn't know what to do with them. And so I invested in myself. I took risks. I pivoted my life and have completely transformed it by choice and through listening. And I say by choice, but it was almost as if, you know, I didn't really have a choice. I didn't resist it.
Yeah, there's a lot there that I can relate to. In the sense of kind of having awareness of this when I was younger and then transitioning into, for me personally, I kind of had to shut it off at certain points in my life, or it shut off and then it resurfaced out of necessity at one point. One of the things that I really want to ask about, since you mentioned that you're an entrepreneur, do you find that owning your own business is a great catalyst for personal growth and doing a lot of self-work that you never would have experienced otherwise?
100%. 100%. It's making me like all giddy inside to hear that question, because I mean, when you work for yourself and you own a business, that's a power if you think about it. Mm-hmm. And so tuning into your own power of mind, body, whatever, and then to have also additionally another element of your life where you're experiencing what it's like to have more power, and not necessarily power in like an egotistical way, but just like an energetic way.
Yeah, more choices, more options.
Absolutely. It opens the doors to anything that your heart desires. And we are so fortunate to live now, to be alive right now in general, and in a time where everybody can work for themselves and own their own businesses and connect with people all over the world. Us right now sitting here being able to do this, like I'm sitting in the hallway of my apartment, you know, recording what I intend to hopefully be something magical. And that's just such a beautiful experience. And we're having it right now. And yeah, I very much, when I said I lead by example, I just want anybody that's listening to know that you are limitless. You are limitless in your power, and you can do anything that you want to do. Anything.
Yeah, I definitely have found in my own personal experience that like owning a business and doing this stuff, it exposes me to areas, although I'm also in spiritual business, it exposes me to areas that I might not have directly been involved with in developing myself personally or healing old wounds had I not been. And I always find it curious to kind of see other people in the business, what their perspective on that is. Because for me, like I'm in a recovery program, like a 12-step recovery program to kind of deal with other issues. And that helps me confront a lot of stuff. But I also think that like how limited my growth would have been had I not maybe had some of these other opportunities that free me up to this whole other world of experiences. It's a really interesting process to see how much entrepreneurship can help develop you. And to kind of touch on that rat race thing as well that you had mentioned earlier, do you find also that part of like being a spiritual, like this is more, I guess, geared towards spiritual business, is learning how to rest and like really practicing that level of self-care that's necessary for you to continue forward? Because for me, sometimes I'll fall in these rat race loops and run myself ragged trying to chase after stuff, but it's because I'm losing touch with the sense that the universe, the Tao, whatever you want to call it, it has my back. My thing is just to trust it and to do the work, but take care of myself and not lose sight and stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our body is another power source, and just bringing awareness to this intelligence that we're in right now, you know, your skin, your body bag, your skin bag. I've heard so many different terms there that are kind of funny. My favorite is a vessel. And that's what I view my body as. And to be a catalyst and to leave the imprint that I desire to leave on this world, what I'm here to do, it requires me to tend to my vessel, you know, just like a ship on the waters. If there's something going awry with the ship, it's not going to be able to stay on course. You know, you gotta dock it and do the work and then hit back and get back into it. And so that's why those four power sources are really what I focus on with my teachings: the mind, the body, the spirit, and expression, external energy, because all of them play together and they're all the foundation of self.
Hmm. I've definitely found that in my own practice as well. It's interesting. We use different words, but we really kind of approach this from the same general concept. I find that really fascinating. Talking on consciousness, since you brought up the vessel, I have this question. Do you view consciousness as something external that we kind of tune in with our bodies? Like it's kind of almost like a radio frequency? Or how do you view kind of soul? Are we a soul that has a body?
Mm. That's very interesting. I'm just going to breathe into that for a second. I would say both. I would say that everything is connected, and the end all consciousness is God consciousness. And what I view that as is this grid of energy that is over our planet and the universe, in our systems and our minds and our bodies, connecting everything, even like, you know, rugs, items in your house. There's consciousness is everywhere, you know, items hold energy too. And so it is an external thing as well as an internal thing, because everything is connected and everything is serving and here for a reason.
I like that perspective. So that you have like an animistic worldview in the sense that you perceive everything as having consciousness, if I'm not mistaken. I guess my next question, I'm trying to think, I had it and I lost it. Let me think for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while you're thinking, I also just want to add that it also is a frequency to tune into as well. And that's something that, like, you'll hear me speak of a lot. And some people get glimpses of that, you know, they'll get to feel it and tune into it. And then it might go away because their awareness level goes away. And so I think it's both, to just fully and completely answer that question.
Have you ever heard of the concept that ideas have people rather than people have ideas?
Yes. And yes. Yes, I agree. I agree with that statement.
Concept. I find it really fascinating. And I definitely think that's the way that it is, because I almost feel like I have to get out of my own way to let the idea come through sometimes, but it's really like the idea is pushing me out of the way to say, hey, you need to express this. This isn't of you. This is of the platonic realm of forms or whatever you want to call it. It's coming directly from source and it choosing me as kind of an outlet or whoever it chooses to go through.
Well, absolutely. And I also find too, for myself, if I don't get out of my own way, then sure enough, I see that idea popping up around me somewhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. In my earlier life, there was times when I was so kind of dogged by ideas that I would almost stop instantly to put them down, and it created a lot of chaos for me at times. And then at some point within the past couple of years, I heard this story of Tom Waits. Do you know who Tom Waits is?
No.
He was I'm not certain if he's still alive, but he was a rock musician. But he was driving down the road at one point, and his quote unquote muse was telling him this concept for a song. And he pretty much told the muse, he's like, hold the hell up, I'm driving right now. You got to come back to me. Like, we can't do this all on your time. And I've really started doing that in some ways, where it's almost like putting some faith in it to, like, if it's a good enough idea, it'll surface when it should. And I don't have to have this sense of urgency. Is that something that you practice as well?
Absolutely. And I just am going to riff on all of that for a second. So urgency is what I would say is attached to the rat race mentality, you know, and that's attached to like getting out of your own way in a sense. And then I also want to bring back into this loop of conversation that living is easy and it's easy. And when you're connected to your power, you can command spirit or your muse or whatever terms, you know, you want to use, because you are a powerful being.
I think that's a good outlook. I mean, when you understand the concept too, that you're like a part of that divinity or something like that as well, it's more like having a conversation with elements of yourself So it almost does kind of, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this properly. It's almost like your body signaling to you that you need to act or respond differently to a set of circumstances in order to achieve the best result. Much like you'd be telling spirit, hold up, this isn't maybe the best time, but we can do this. Just give me a little bit of time.
Right. Absolutely. Just saying, like, I appreciate you. I honor you. I honor this idea. And let's pick this back up, you know, at another time. And furthermore, too, this is very light, and I would say more on the positive side of the spectrum with ideas and commanding things and talking to spirit and, you know, encouraging happenings in your life and building the life that you want to achieve. And I just wanted to point out that you can also command spirit on the negative side of the spectrum of things too. For example, like I see spirits and ghosts and things like that sometimes. And there are times when I'm just not in a space to communicate or to acknowledge it, you know, let's say at a party. I was at a Christmas party a few years ago and I saw a spirit and I was just like, go away, not right now. Like, I can't do this right now. And the thing is our brains sometimes logistically cannot compute this idea that it exists. And so the initial physical reaction is to be scared. And even in the moment, you know, in the car when he said, like, I can't do this right now, there's almost like this this anxiety or fear attached to like losing the idea, you know, like it going away. And so recognizing, you know, I don't have to feel fear, I don't have to feel anxiety, and this is an easy process, and like I've got this, you know, and that you're supported, and whatever that looks like and in any given circumstance, just trusting and knowing that it can be easy and everything's okay and you can live the life that you want to live regardless of where you're at and what you're experiencing.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. I mean, because for me, like really beginning to understand that the concept of I have to respond to this idea immediately, it comes from this sense of being told by society, you only need one good idea or this one good idea, like this lack of scarcity around good ideas, first off. And then it's like self-defeating in the sense of assuming that I can't have other good ideas. And it's ultimately like I'm connected to this realm of infinitely good ideas. It's not like there's a limit on how many I get, and spirit's not going to get butt hurt if I say, like, hold on a minute, try not to crash this car, or like, I'm right in the middle of something. Maybe not the best time. Spirit's like, dude, I get it. It's cool. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah. I think there's like a bigger energy at play here. And that is that what do humans do most times is they're in search of something that's outside of themselves, whether it's, you know, God or a relationship or attention or whatever it may be for each person. It's being in search of something outside of themselves. And the reality, my reality, is just to go within and to allow, because when you stop searching and you just allow things to flow and you allow space to receive and to channel and to do all of that, then that is where the magic is.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. Allow was my word for last year, where I really focused on kind of letting go of the reins of my life so much. And so many good things blossomed from that overall. So we're coming up to 30-minute mark or so. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. I have some interesting questions for you and I'm curious as to your response. So
I'm curious for my response as well and I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much. Are you facing questions with no answers or seeking an escape from persistent problems, then enlist the Oracle at Mushin. The Oracle at Mushin provides high-quality tarot and life coaching services at affordable prices. Quickly and easily book online with the link in our description. Our listeners get a 10% discount off the Oracle at Mushin's already low prices. Use code OFF10. That's OFF10. Seek the solution today. All right, we are back with Serena Rose for part two. So right out of the gate on this second part, my question is going to be, out of all of your odd experiences, what stands out to you the most?
Wow. I would say the very first time that I ever saw a ghost. I just think it's really interesting that this topic keeps getting brought up into our conversation. It was my Nana, and I was 4 years old when she passed, and we had a very, very close relationship, very close. And she was blind, and in the afterlife or whatever you want to call it, I saw her out the window and I was in the house by myself. My mom at the time was outside with her friends, and I ran out to my mom and I was so scared and crying, and she just said, "Oh yeah, whatever, honey, like ghosts aren't real, go back inside." And my Nana came back again, and I just, there was this soft moment of energy where we looked at each other, and it's as if so many codes and transmissions and the beginning of so many things in my life happened in that moment. Like, I knew that I had special powers and that it was real. I was like, this is real, what I'm experiencing. This is not real, no matter what my mom says. And then I just remember being so scared and asking her to leave because I didn't understand it fully. You know, I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I remember the look in her eyes, and she was almost traumatized that she had scared me so badly. And I might start crying in this moment, but I've always thought about that and just wanted her to know that, like, that happened for a reason, you know, and I'm grateful for it. Like, I don't want her soul to ever think that she traumatized me, you know?
Oh, she knows she didn't. I'm sure I'm sure there's awareness of it.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Love you, Nana.
I guess my next question would be, because that experience stands out on its own. Like, I feel like you encapsulated it well, and there's no real other questions I could ask about it. It's a beautiful experience. My next question would be, like, what can you think of one instance where you kind of followed synchronicities that led you to a whole new life that you could never really have perceived? And I know synchronicities are hard to, like, kind of explain in a logical fashion, but.
Yeah. So this is a beautiful question, and it's also one that I just answered on another podcast interview, actually. And to kind of stick to the same rhythm of that drum, I would say the synchronicities are alive around us every day and every moment. And the more in tune that you are, then the more seamless life is. And the more easy living is. And so, hell yeah, I followed synchronicities. You know, I follow them as much as I possibly can, because the more that you do, then the easier life is, the more opportunities that come your way. And it's just opening your mind, opening your field, opening your heart to receiving them and seeing them. You know, there's this quote we hear all the time, there are no such thing as coincidences. And I really believe that. And I believe that more and more as I experience this life. You know, I think that our society has coined things as crazy with a negative connotation. And, you know, I remember being on this path and someone saying to me, Serena, and I'll never forget this. They said, Serena, don't pay too much attention to all the messages from spirit and all the signs that you're receiving and so on and so forth, because you will lose it. Like, you will lose your mind. And that scared me to hear that. I was like, whoa, am I going to lose my mind? But there's all of these messages and synchronicities all the time, and I see them, and I'm aware to them, and you know, it's beautiful. And so it's just, again, allowing yourself to see it and to receive.
Yeah, I definitely relate with that. It's interesting that somebody said that you would lose your mind, just because my past with mental health and stuff like that, it was almost kind of resisting acknowledging some of them, which caused me to lose my mind. And there's this quote by Hunter S. Thompson, which is, he's talking about the edge. And he says, the only people that know the edge are the ones that have gone over. I think there's so much truth to that, that like, in order to like know your limits with how much you can and can't have, you have to push the limit. And at a certain point, you have to have faith, like you obviously do, that whatever you believe in can navigate you through it. Because one of the biggest things I've had to come to terms with is, while I do have power in some senses, ultimately, I am not the most powerful force out there. There's something that's looking out for me and kind of guiding me on my life. So I have to kind of, there's a line in the Joe Walsh song, I got a limo ride in the back. Like, that's what I try to remember to do. Just ride in the limo and kind of look at the signs that are coming up as my driver takes me to where I'm going. And granted, it's not always that easy for me, but that's kind of what I strive to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with all of that. And I even agree too that the opposite of that statement is what is the truth for me, at least. You know, again, not acknowledging the synchronicities and not following them and seeing them is where I could see myself losing my mind. So I completely agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to kind of touch on that a little bit further, after I had my whole first experience with kind of awakening and all of that, I guess is what I'll call it. I use the terms mental health and awakening kind of interchangeably because it's convenient for me. But after that, I really stepped away from spirit because the mental health community really viewed those views as unhealthy, and the quality of my life drastically decreased, in a sense that life became flat. I returned back to old habits that had ultimately contributed to my initial kind of experience. And then ultimately that set me up for another experience where spirit was pretty much like, you can't ignore this shit, dude. You're either going to go crazy or you're going to die. Like, you're going to go crazy for good, or you're going to die if you keep trying to run from this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right. I submit, you win. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Sense. Absolutely. I mean, history has definitely done some work with societal views on mental health. And, you know, way back when, people that were schizophrenic or what have you were the medicine people. So, you know, they easily could tap into other realms and energetic frequencies and see and feel and experience things that are not flat, you know, that are not seen always with our physical eyes. And so, you know, as far as mental health goes, I have a lot of, in my, one of my parents struggles with a lot of mental health disorders, if you will. And it's something that has been kind of hanging over my head my entire life. And I always, it's part of why I didn't speak openly about my connection to spirit for so long, is because I thought, oh my gosh, everybody is going to think I'm crazy. Like, you know, my parent and lock me away. I can never speak of this, you know? But eventually I did when I found myself, and I really account a lot of my abilities and gifts to my DNA and my ancestors. And, you know, I think that we all are on the spectrum of all mental disorders. It's just how alive they are in our person. It depends on other circumstances, you know, but I think that we all have, to some varying degree, like bipolarism or schizophrenia or depression or whatever, and certain things will cause it to flare up more than others at certain times in our lives.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, even looking at it from the standpoint of we're all human, so we're all on the spectrum for the whole human experience overall. Mm-hmm. Like, I find that to be absolutely true. And in my own personal opinion, I think that people that can't admit that they have some mental disturbances from time to time are probably the craziest sons of bitches out there. Because, like, there's no reasonable way that that's not the case. And then the other thing for me is, like, finding that in order to actually confront a lot of the conditions that I have had, I had to use a lot of things that are talked about openly in spiritual circles, which I found fascinating. Like, just my diagnoses in general, bipolar, borderline personality disorder, and all of this, to deal with those, it's a combination of mindfulness, which is obviously helpful. Like, earthing is one of the things I was supposed to do. Eating health, fresh, whole foods is like another thing. All good life advice, but also things in circles, like spiritual circles. And one of the things that blew my mind the most is the symptoms of those conditions are almost directly correlated with spiritual gifts in lots of ways too, which to the uninitiated or unexperienced is very easy to say, well, that's just your illness, framing it that way. But like in borderline personality disorder, I forget the way that the symptom is described, but it's essentially describing empathy or being empathic rather. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, the more that you pull at those threads, the more there is. Mm-hmm. It's really of the concept that magic is kind of hidden in plain view, and it falls into this whole Peter Pan concept of all you have to do is believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, just to speak to the people that are listening that may resonate with what you originally said, you know, those, the craziest sons of bitches, I think you said, or whatever it was that you said. You know, my heart really does go out to those people, because it's denial, you know, and it's not feeling safe to speak. And so, you know, there are so many things out there. And if somebody hearing this is struggling or thinking like, yeah, I do have these thoughts or these experiences and I deny it, or I'm not comfortable saying it, you know, you're not alone. You're never alone. Everybody experiences their own versions of things, and, you know, you're provided for and you're here and you're safe. And just lean in, you know, lean into community, to circles, to, you know, this podcast, whatever it is that speaks to you and helps you open up a little bit more. You know, baby steps are arguably the most important steps that we take as humans. And yeah, and I agree with you, the framework of mental health and how it's structured, there's a balance. And, you know, I'm really proud of you for doing the work that you've done and continue to do. So thank you for showing up and spreading awareness. And I'm just feeling immense gratitude for you for that. And openly talking about it, you know, like, how inspiring is that?
Thank you so much. I want to just say one thing about like the crazy son of a bitch thing. Like, I don't mean that, like, I don't have empathy for them. I just feel that there needs to be like honest dialogue about it. And I think that that's one of the things that sometimes gets diluted in spiritual circle in particular, is people feel so compelled to say everything nice and soft, that it actually loses a lot of meaning in the message. And for me, it's like, I understand inherently from choices I've made in being that person at times in my life, there's enough punishment in those actions and attitudes that nothing I could say or do could ever beat those people up nearly as bad as they do themselves. And just for one example, I normally don't talk about politics, but like Donald Trump, for example, I feel bad for the dude seeing how he lives. Like, I'm not going to say he doesn't make me angry, but he's somebody that like I genuinely feel sympathy for, and I hardly ever feel sympathy for people because it's kind of demeaning, but there's also like a level of empathy there. Because that's a hard road to travel, and not being able to actually tap into your higher self or your truth, I guess, being disconnected from your truth.
Absolutely. I hear that, and I love that we're having this conversation, because that's something for me that I've struggled with personally too, is accepting and allowing my fire and, you know, the depths of my being and the not so pretty fluffy rainbow stuff, you know. I love the term spiritual gangster. Like, that is something I really identify with, because as much as I can hold sacred space and be a healer and an intuitive and all of these things, it's also like I will also throw punch you, you know, if necessary. And so, yeah, I love that you're touching on that. And there needs to be more radical honesty in the world. That's what I see, is radical honesty. Whatever your truth is, like, it feels so good to set it free.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that's one of, I hate that I always come back to this topic, like just speaking freely, but it's something I'm so passionate about. I see so many people focusing on the sunny side of spirituality that they sell their spiritual development short because they never do the shadow work necessary to progress to new heights. Because for me, in my personal experience, part of getting a more clear signal to source or a deeper connection to spirit is relative to clearing off that channel. And the stuff that's blocking that channel is a lot of the dark stuff that people don't want to talk about. And when people say I'm healed, or like they're so carefully choosing their language that they can't have authentic conversations, they're actually limiting themselves from growing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I love the phrase framework, and conscious language is something that I really, really study. And it has helped me so much, and just having framework that I can turn to use as a map when I'm exploring shadow and communicating things to people that may or may not be on the same level of understanding of that side of things as I am, because that's challenging. You know, our society, in a way, you know, we're, I want to say, supposed to like shut up and, you know, shove it down, and you know, everybody just wants you to be happy and have kids and go about your life. And that's not the truth for me. The truth for me is to set it all free. And what's coming up is a conversation that I've had with my dad, actually, recently. I was able to set a truth free to him that I've been carrying with me for a very long time. And, you know, his reaction to all of that was that he just wants me to be happy, that he just wants, you know, when does the healing stop? And it's like, I know that I'm crying. I know that I'm crying, but I'm happy. And this is just part of the process. And so being able to communicate in a conscious way, like, yes, I am aware that this is, my body is exuding this energy and producing tears and all of this stuff. And I'm going here. This isn't a normal conversation, quote unquote, but it's happening.
Mm.
And it's okay. And it's more than okay. It's beautiful. And so in a lot of ways, the journey is being able to hold space for yourself and have that framework and that map so that that space you're holding for yourself is strong enough to hold space for others, no matter where they are, especially as an empathic, intuitive person, you know, because, and being a woman, I would go as far as saying too, because women naturally hold a healing space and a healing energy around them.
Hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of wisdom in what you said there. One of the things that I really wanted to touch on was how you talked about like holding space for yourself. And for me, like learning to sit with emotions and not feeling a need to take them away or not feeling a need to run from them, but like sitting with the unpleasant feelings has been one of the most liberating things for my whole experience. And it's not always easy because we're conditioned to be quiet, to stop crying, to not be angry and all this stuff. But those are kind of like these signposts directing you where to go in life. I guess my next question to you is going to be, have you noticed that kind of the map of actions that you have to take or that you are taking in your spiritual development changes at times? Because there was a time for me personally, just as an example, when I had to be very conscious of all the words that I used and the charge of them, but then that became less important than the charge, than focusing on language became less important than the fact that I was like micromanaging every word that I said at one point. So I had to ease back off of it. Do you notice that there's kind of like this shifting direction in your development?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am not going to sit here and say that I have figured that out by any means, because my ship changes course often. And a lot of coaches and people that I'm even working with right now continuously drill into me like consistency. And I understand the energy involved in consistency, and what you put out there comes back to you. So if you want something in your life, you know, every day you practice it, you put energy there, you put time, you put attention, of course it's going to attract it into your realm because you're literally putting it there, you know. So I understand the consistency and the gifts that it brings and practices and stuff, but life is ever evolving and ever changing. And so if something's just simply not working for me then anymore, then I recognize that and I move forward and I move along. And, you know, my path is one where I'm carving my own way. I'm carving my own way. And it's an interesting journey to take.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to, in my experience personally, fluidity is important because you can be consistently doing stuff, but still be fluid in how it goes. Like the consistency in my life is focused on development and currently kind of rooting into my business and expanding, and where that takes me, just like a branch can continually grow on a tree. It doesn't mean that it's going to consistently grow the same direction based upon how the wind is or where the sun's at, or any of that. And I guess this is another question, since you're in spiritual business, and I don't get to talk to spiritual business people maybe as much as I should. Do you find that it's more important to put your soul in front of your business? Because that's like directly how you can kind of lose your soul in your business, is if you don't honor it. Have you found that?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm not going to claim to have figured it all out. But I will say that yes, because everything is connected, and anything that is attached to me right? Like my relationships, my home, my business, anything, it starts with me. And so if something is not right within me, then that energy radiates outward, just like any, you know, business environment. Like if the boss is in a poor mood, you know, more than likely employees are going to end up in a poor mood, you know? So listening to yourself and again, just having the space for yourself to hear and to receive is so vital. But I also think like there, it's a dance that you do, right? Because if you're not aware, then like, okay, so let me gather my thoughts. So there are a lot of rabbit holes that I could go down, a lot, because of the amount of traumas and experiences that have been negative that I have had. And so there are times where I have to say, you know what? Is it necessary? Is it necessary to go down this rabbit hole? Like, do I, is it going to serve me? And sometimes it does serve and sometimes it doesn't. And so that is what I call like the power of discernment. And so in any given moment, I can discern like, is this going to be good for me or is it not? And you just check in with yourself, you know, and everything is energy. So if I have a day full of calls and I, you know, had a traumatic experience the night before, I can check in with myself and say, you know what, is this going to work for me? What can I do? How can I serve myself? Because if I'm not serving myself, I'm not serving anyone, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Having an honest dialogue with yourself and understanding you can't pour from an empty cup is critical. I definitely agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to bring up one other thing that I glossed over earlier that I thought that you might enjoy. Have you ever heard of the concept of drifting?
I would like for you to explain in more detail what it is that you're speaking to.
Absolutely. Because I think that you, this might be something that you've probably done or something that you would do. It's something that when I was turned onto it, I recognized I had maybe unconsciously done at times. But essentially, it's kind of going for a walk in a city or wherever, with setting the direct intention of seeing signs, like going out with a question in mind, maybe making some kind of offering for spirit, and then letting your intuition direct you to where it wants to take you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have done that. The term that I use for that is a meditation walk or a meditation journey. So I make it a whole experience for myself. So yes, I do that. And originally when you used that term, I thought that it was going to be in the direction of spiritual bypassing.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
yeah. So I'm just kind of sitting with like, wow, that's not at all the direction that went. So I'm so glad that I asked for clarification.
Yes. Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I like the concept of drifting just because it kind of gives like this cool, I don't know, just the connotation in my mind is like of walking on graffiti riddled streets and finding clues.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful concept. And, you know, meditation is something that I practice every day, sometimes multiple times a day, and that I love to share with my friends, with community, and with the world. And there's this big misconception that, you know, to meditate, you have to sit in silence and, you know, for 20 to 30 minutes and have candles or whatever. And it doesn't have to be like that. Anything can be meditative, even a walk in the city, a walk, you know, in the forest. Putting my makeup on every day is a meditative experience. So life is just what you make it to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Learning that I was misinformed by the misinformed about meditation was one of the most beneficial things in my life, because I found so many different avenues to explore it. And for me, I'm curious if you've experienced this as well, but for me, one of the main things was thinking that I had to clear my mind, when it's really actually rather letting my mind clear and just not following thoughts so much. What's your experience with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of practices that I invite in for myself when I'm struggling with my mind, or this concept of having to clear my mind. And it's just focusing, just as you tune into a certain frequency of your surroundings, like you can focus on something. So focusing on breath or a lit candle or a sound that you're hearing or something like that definitely helps shift things so that you can drop into a certain space. And also the word allow is so relevant. Like whatever thoughts are coming up, like they're coming up for a reason, and I would just allow them.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's honoring yourself, really. It goes back to kind of that self-care too, and listening to you.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a soul sister last week, and she was questioning a man's words to her and their authenticity. And this philosophy that I'm going to share can also be applied to thoughts that arise, or literally anything that arises in your path and on your journey and in your life. And, you know, it almost doesn't matter if what someone is saying to you is the truth or not. For example, if someone is saying, I love you, whatever their intention is, it could be malicious or not. They could genuinely love you. Those words are still being spoken to you. They are still alive. You are still receiving them. And my belief is that they're there for a reason. And it could be God consciousness moving through this person, just saying, hey, I love you.
Yeah, finding a lesson in every situation rather than viewing it as something to create anxiety and worry and all of this.
Right. Just allowing, like, hey, that's there. That's there. Okay. Okay. Just receive it.
That's definitely a good suggestion and a good way to live. So we're drawing to the end of our time, because I don't want to hold you hostage all day. My next question would be, what are your links where people can reach out to you?
Yeah, so what I feel most called to share is the Elevation Creation Course that I have online. There are three different tiers that are serving for anybody. And I've designed this course so that no matter where you are on your path and what you're going through, whether you are spiritually evolved or just now hearing the word spirit for the first time, there's an option for you to grow and to develop yourself. And you can do it at whatever works for you, whatever time works for you. So it's kind of a come as you go kind of course. So everything is funneled down and you select what works for you. I don't see anybody else doing this online, this course, the way that I've designed it. And I still struggle with my words to explain it. But if you're interested, I would visit ElevationCreationCourse.com and check it out. And you can also reach me personally on Instagram at Serena Rose Jarvis.
Okay, very cool. Thank you. Yeah, I'll put links for all of that in the description of the episode as well, so people can find it very easy and conveniently. So I have two more things that I want to ask you. The first of which is kind of a fun but on the spot question. if you had to summarize your life experience in the title of a book, so like, I don't know, 3 to 4 words, what would it be?
Naked reality.
That's provocative.
It is. Just stripping everything down and being raw and vulnerable and being willing to be there and to not only be there, but to be there in such a strong, powerful way.
This brings up one side question that'll be a relatively short response, I would assume. Have you noticed that vulnerability almost begets the sense of invincibility, but then when people are acting invincible, it creates the sense of fragility?
Yeah, so there are so many sensations that move through my body and my field whenever I am perceiving a vulnerable moment or a fragile moment or whatever. And so I just honor all of those different sensations, and sometimes I speak to them. And there's a phrase that I live by, and it's feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah, that's a good phrase. Those are good words to live by.
Yeah, I mean, how do you know what your limits are and how far you can go if you don't push them?
Yeah, absolutely. Failure and discomfort and all that stuff is actually part of success as well.
Absolutely.
So I like to let my guests end the show in their own words. You can say a prayer if you want. You can do a meditation. You can close it however you want. But before I give you that opportunity, I just want to say thank you for taking the time. It's been a really enjoyable conversation. And you have a standing invitation to come back when it works into our schedules again. So,
thank you so much. I received that. And as I said on our little break, I do feel as if I could speak with you for hours. So I look forward to that coming to fruition.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I think it's important to just have an offering of breath. Breath is life. So if you're listening right now, and you're in a space to do so, just close your eyes. Open your hands, maybe rest them on your thighs. What this does is it opens your body, it opens your heart, it opens your spirit and your mind, your field to receive. And just take the deepest breath in, as if you're breathing in the waves from the ocean as they move. And release anything that's not serving you, just as the ocean does on the shore. And continue to feel into that. Breathing with the earth. You are loved, you are seen, and you are heard. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please visit the links in the description below. You can support this podcast through PayPal, Patreon, Venmo, Anchor, or through our shop and services.